packet on your chair, and the first item is, or second item is to approve the agenda. Anyone have any changes to the agenda? All right, I'm going to make a motion, or come on, need a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
A second?
Second.
All right, that's so approved. The minutes are also attached. Anyone has any changes to the minutes? If not, a motion to approve them.
Move.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all right. And then from item number four is the wildlife management update.
All right, well, everybody, I want to thank you all for coming this evening. I'm thrilled we're in this room from now on because I get a PowerPoint presentation back. And I'm a very visual type person when it comes to presentations, especially when we're talking about subjects that probably most everybody in this room is familiar with, but some may not be when we're discussing airport safety areas, runway protection zones, and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot easier for me to be able to have a picture to be able to explain a particular subject than it is to try to verbally paint a picture. So with my portion of the agenda, the wildlife management update, short and simple. We've got two known deer on the airport. That's down from the five that we had up to about 2 months ago. As far as geese and gulls are concerned, every time I'm out on the airfield, I'm always vigilant, always looking for that. Susan and Patty both know that we've made a sizable purchase in pyrotechnics that are used to frighten off any of the geese and or seagulls that roost or nest at the airport. And I think we've done a pretty good job of keeping those numbers down also. Anybody want to add or comment about the wildlife on the airport? Okay, cool. Airport update. And this is where I'm happy that I've got my PowerPoint presentation back. There's Mark right there. The 9-unit T-hangar building. As everyone is aware, this project is obviously well underway. 9 new T-hangars are being built. We were hoping to meet substantial completion before the Wings and Wheels event, which is going to be not this weekend, but next weekend. We're going to fall short of that. There were some construction, there were some delays in material delivery that kind of pushed that substantial completion date back. We've also have had several change orders that kind of popped up and surprised us that we're also having to deal with. So right now we're hoping to complete the building by the end of November, probably January of next year. We'll begin to move in tenants. We already have 6 signed leases of the 9. We have 29 names remaining on the T-hanger waiting list to go through, but we've temporarily put that on hold until we get further into the construction of the building. Building was awarded at the cost of, at the original construction cost of $787,000. We have had a few change orders also that again kind of surprised us, but we're moving forward with those.
Airport. How much did the change orders drive up the cost?
Too much.
Yeah.
Any change order is not a good change order.
I know, but I just thought since you quoted the price, I was just curious how much.
Yeah.
I'd say on the order of 10-12%. Yeah, unforeseen conditions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's not unusual. The airport master plan update. We were running very close to the expiration of the 4-year AIP grant that paid for 90% of the cost of the project. In conversations with the Federal Aviation Administration and at the FAA's urging, they encouraged us to submit a request for an extension. They granted that extension, so our new target date for the airport master plan to be complete and approved by the FAA is January of next year. That also includes about a 3-month period for the FAA to review the airspace analysis surrounding the airport, environmental division of the FAA to also look at the environmental aspect of the airport before the project can be approved.
If I may, what drove the requirement for the extension?
You know, there's probably a lot of excuses, well, reasons why. Rick?
COVID is number one.
COVID is number one.
That's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Russians, did you say?
Russians or COVID?
COVID is number one. And you hate to use COVID as an excuse, you know, for extension, but
yeah,
it's
true.
Yeah,
we're all tired
because,
of hearing that now.
Yeah, yeah, because that entire, you know, airport district office went home. And they were having difficulty coordinating back and forth. The district office, the Harrisburg Airport District Office, is also understaffed. And just within the last 2 days, they hired a second environmental analysis and a second planner to help Lori Langer, who is the airport master plan, you know, review analysis for that office, and under their jurisdiction, they have 78 airports that they have to monitor AIP projects through. You could also throw in, you know, the fact that you've had 3 airport managers during this process also. And I'll admit, at the 11th hour, I tried to sneak in a couple of projects with the hopes of being able to extend the runway as far as possible, and the FAA shot us down on that. But we'll talk a little more about that as we run through this. But okay. all the reasons were valid. And one thing that's kind of interesting about this, and we heard from David Jones of Delta Airport Consultants, is it's rare that the FAA will approve an extension for a master plan, because you got 4 years to complete the
thing. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. So we were happy about that. So right now, what we are working through with the consultant on the master plan project, McFarland Johnson, and the Federal Aviation Administration are essentially the last two chapters of the master plan. The alternatives analysis, where basically you take everything that you found out in the requirements portion of the master plan, what it is that you need, and then you look at methods and means of being able to provide that. That's what is discussed in the analysis, in the alternatives analysis. And then, of course, you know, the last chapter is the implementation plan and the finance feasibility analysis, how we're going to pay for the estimated $162 million worth of airport improvements over the next 20-year period. Typical airport master plan is divided into 3 phases. Phase 1 are your immediate needs and basically cover a period of 5 years. Everything that you see in green is essentially portions of the airport that do not meet current FAA design standards, and the FAA wants us to correct those first. And interestingly, the displaced thresholds at each end of runway 422 are not an FAA design standard. That's a temporary fix to, until you can reach a point to where you can correct the non-standard subject on the airport to meet new FAA design standards. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about the taxiway, the new taxiway Bravo, which you've probably seen surveyors out there marking that project. But everything that you see in green is what we are hoping to do within the first 5 years of the plan. And hoping is a big word. What's kind of driving this phase of the plan is in the FAA's current airport design advisory circular. What the FAA does is they break down aircraft based upon the the approach speed, and then they give a, you know, a letter, a letter identifier for each aircraft, and they also break the aircraft further down in tail height and particularly wing speed or wingspan. FAA has determined that our airport is an airport, is an aircraft approach category B airport. The approach speed of aircraft 91 knots, but less than 121 knots are typically your mid-sized corporate jets. The Cessna Latitude that Hertrick owns is a category B2 airplane. Gulfstreams and the 737s typically fall in the category C, design group 2, design group 3, depending upon what type aircraft it is. So with this, what the FAA requires you to do is go into the advisory circular, look at the runway design standard matrix for whatever aircraft category you fall under. And this is what identifies the FAA's minimum requirements for runway widths, safety area lengths, and so on. For our airport right now, as it stands, a B2 airport with approach minimums not lower than 3/4 of a mile, we're only required to have a 75-foot wide runway, yet we've got a 150-foot wide runway. So one of the issues that we have to deal with is if we ever reach that time where we need to reconstruct or rehabilitate the existing runway 422, the FAA is only going to give us funding to rehabilitate 75 feet, a 75-foot width of that runway. We would have to come up with the other means of being able to pay for the remaining 75 feet of the runway if we want to maintain the 150 feet. What's key here also is the runway protection zones, particularly the runway safety area, the length beyond the departure end of each runway, and the runway object free area, the length beyond each end of the runway. What's interesting is nobody in airport management or even at the Harrisburg Airport District Office can figure out why do we have displaced thresholds on runway 4 and runway 22 when for a category B2 airport, your extended runway safety area beyond the end of the runway is only 300 feet and the MALS lights are 200 feet apart. A runway safety area for this runway only needs to be 200-300 feet, and yet we've got this displaced threshold. What's driving this displaced threshold? It can't be Park Avenue, because Park Avenue is well outside the 300-foot extended runway safety area. So the FAA is telling us that one of our phase one projects that we could consider is doing away with the displaced thresholds and making those part of the overall length of the of runway 422 for landing. Because right now we do have declared distances for landing on these runways, and as you pilots know, you can't use this portion of the runway for landing. You have to land beyond the threshold bars, and that cuts off part of the 5,500-foot length of the runway.
We've done a lot of obstacle clearing in the past few years. Could it have been obstacles on the approach path?
Quite possibly. Maybe that's what drove it.
You don't know the answer.
We don't know the answer right now. So the FAA is actually encouraging us to remove the displaced thresholds, which is easier said than done, because it's not only just, you know, obliterating paint at the end of the runway, but you also have to remark the entire runway. You have to create new approach plates based upon, you know, the touchdown area of the runway now also being relocated further to the runway end. You got to move the Pappies. You have to have all those flight checked. You have to have the new approach plates flight checked, and only the FAA can do that. Also, the FAA is telling us that pavement
is not, is only a component of an overall runway extension. And believe it or not, this would actually be a runway extension because we're extending the length available for landing. And what the FAA has told us is you're also going to have to clear all obstructions before the FAA will allow us to relocate the thresholds to the end of the pavement. All those trees that are identified in green, all those will have to come down also before we can remove these displaced thresholds and make them available for landing. So, you know, that's a project that wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't benefit us at all for runway takeoff length available. And I don't know how beneficial it would be for landing distances. But it is a project that the FAA is encouraging us to pursue in phase one. Phase two. Go back.
Did it also say relocate the mouths?
Yes, yeah, we'll have to relocate the mouths
Wow.
Well, in the master plan, that's a $2 million project just to relocate the mouths. Then you have to have that flight checked also.
What was the word that you use?
Mouths. Medium intensity approach lighting system.
Yeah. When you cross Park Avenue, it's those bars, those light bars that you see. On the posts.
Yeah. I think your photo shows the tower by the old EOC down the road here. I think it shows that as one of the items that's in the green area.
Not sure what you're talking about, but
before this building was built, the old EOC was down at the end of the road, which is now, I think, a records office, which has the tower with the beacon on it.
Yep.
And so is that tower going to have to be removed?
Quite possibly. I mean, it may not show up on this. It may not be as visible as I would like for it to be.
Go back one slide.
It's on the other end.
Yeah, there it is. See, there, and at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's something that would be identified in an obstruction survey.
But that's got the beacon on it. How do you get the beacon up in the air without a tower? But the beacon's in that green area that you've got.
Okay. Well, I'll have to take a look at that. That's interesting. Phase two, earmarked, is supposed to happen in the second 5-year period. Because phase one is such an enormous project, there's not a whole lot in phase two. One of the plans is to eliminate this taxiway Bravo, which will allow us this type of development to expand into this area and replace taxiway Bravo with a new taxiway on the west side of runway 422.
East side.
So, you know, having a taxi, you know, the full length to use runway 28 might be a distance, you know, to go, but you know, what we're trying to do is to create more aeronautical economic development opportunities at the airport, and we're somewhat kind of landlocked in these areas, plus the cost of having to bring utilities to a site like this right here compared to utilities that are already available here was taken into consideration also. And then ultimately, and this is probably what most people are wondering, you know, what's going to happen with the runway extension? That's not identified until phase three, which is the last 10-year period of the overall 20-year period of the master plan. The reason why the runway extension appears 10 years later is because right now we don't meet the FAA's and we don't exceed the FAA's criteria to justify a runway extension at this airport. We just don't have the volume of large corporate jets, 737 aircraft type activity, and the distances that they're also flying to when they originate out of this airport to qualify for an FAA-funded airport or runway extension. Now, if $30 million rained down on us from heaven, we could do this project at any time. But that's the struggle that we're dealing with right now. Now, I think some of you, and one of the things that I was kind of pushing for and may have also contributed to a need for an extension to the master plan, was I also wanted to pave 500 feet of the 1,000 foot runway safety, extended runway safety areas, once we get to the need for this runway extension. 500 feet on each side could have been used for your takeoff roll. You would have still had a displaced threshold where you would have had to land beyond that 500 feet. But the ultimate runway length in this configuration is 6,123 feet. We could have had 6,623 feet for takeoff roll. But the FAA won't even consider that because right now we don't meet the criteria for this. So that's what the master plan will ultimately show, is the potential for a 6,123-foot runway. By the way, all the projects that are identified in the master plan, first year phasing, this right here. $26,734,000.
How much of that would be funded by the FAA?
No.
AIP?
90%, you hope. So the county would be responsible for $2.6 million, but we'll talk about that also. Second phase, these are the projects, $38 million, taking into account inflation 6 to 10 years from now. $38 million for that. This right here, $97 million for a total of $162,944,000. $163 million of airport improvements are identified in our next 20-year airport master plan. We are only eligible to receive $150,000 a year in entitlement funds through the FAA's airport improvement program. So we rely heavily upon the FAA and planning these projects far enough in advance to where the FAA can also contribute discretionary money in the millions toward these projects. So let's talk about the new parallel taxiway Bravo project.
Bob?
Yeah.
Excuse my... I hesitate to use ignorance, but excuse me for
no problem.
Just coming at this as a layperson.
Yep. Yep.
It appears that we're spending a lot of money to reroute Route 9.
Correct.
That was in the name of extending the runway.
Yep.
If it won't happen because we don't have the funding from the FAA, what will be done to get that money?
Route 9 was a prerequisite to even this little rectangular shape, purple, to even be shown in the master plan. Route 9 was a prerequisite that had to be removed, that had to be moved. Right now, the county is talking at the federal and at the state level, hoping to encourage state involvement in this project, which, if we can find the estimated $30 million to not only build this, but to also remove all the obstructions, because again, the Federal Aviation Administration is telling us this is only a component of the overall airport runway extension project. You're going to have all of your clear zones obstruction free, any wetlands that may be impacted in the runway protection zones and trapezoidal areas that are at the end of each runway, all that has to be mitigated and everything. We're already talking with representatives from the State Economic Development and at the federal level about other resources that could be available to help fund this project.
So there's some congressional discretionary funds that we've been discussing at a high level. We've been putting grant applications in. So there's a lot of different avenues that we're pursuing, not just the FAA's capital improvement program. We understand that's going to limit us in what we're going to receive. So we're trying to exhaust all avenues.
So if the FAA is saying that our traffic is not up to speed in terms of their funding with corporate jets, 737s, as you said.
There's I didn't include it in this discussion because, you know, we would be here for hours. There's a separate advisory circular that dictates how the FAA considers runway length. And part of that includes the requirement to have certain categories of aircraft, the Category C aircraft with the larger wingspans, the Gulfstreams, the 737s, to be in a position where you have to have a minimum of 500 operations of those types of aircraft, every year. Of course, you know, one operation is a takeoff, another operation is a landing. So one airplane conducts two operations. I need 250 737s, Gulfstream size aircraft to operate at this airport annually. I need each of those 250 aircraft to travel to a distance that at 90% useful load would require the aircraft to stop, refuel, to continue on to its ultimate destination. It's a very complicated advisory circular to discuss without having it and showing you the advisory circular, but we don't meet that criteria yet. And until we do, this is not an FAA project that's eligible to receive funding under the FAA's Airport Improvement Program.
So it becomes like the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Which comes first? Because you can't get the aircraft in here unless you have the runway. You can't get the runway unless you have the aircraft.
Well, you get the aircraft in here. They just can't fly as far as they would like to.
In the past, what we had been advised was a lot of insurance companies will not allow the larger aircraft to come in and do the operations on this length of runway. They needed another 500 or 1,000 foot to get the approval of the insurance companies.
We've had a few of those. We've had a few of those incidents.
But that's correct. I mean, it's like one's chasing the tail of the other. So we need to get justified, but we can't attract the aircraft because we don't have the runway that's long enough. So it's been a challenge for us.
So all of this is just, at this point, we hope that the extension will fall into place with more aircraft and meet the criteria.
We need to meet the criteria, but then to Bob's point, the funding hurdles will still be there.
Right.
So that'll be the second hurdle, and we're proactively working on that as we speak.
Does National Guard count?
No. Military operations do not count.
Really?
Yeah. So, wow. Yeah. Only civilian. Yeah. So anyways, let's move forward to the taxiway, the new parallel taxiway Bravo project. I probably have this backwards or whatever, but FAA is bullish on this project. Our current taxiway Alpha, with a little dogleg loop that it takes in front of the terminal apron and all these other crazy doglegs that it takes, and the fact that you have aircraft parking in tie-down areas that require the public to walk across a primary taxiway do not meet FAA design standards. They want the taxiway to be aligned with runway 422 and all aircraft operation areas, passenger, pedestrian, vehicle operations to be on the opposite side of the runway. Problem is, Federal Aviation Administration doesn't have the resources or the funding available to allow us to build this entire project under a single grant. Those days are long gone. So what the FAA has told us to do in planning for this project is to basically break the project into two phases. This is phase one in red. Phase two are the outside portions of the taxiway. This current federal fiscal year, the FAA has already put under grant the design of phase one. That's where you see all the surveyors and all the survey flags that are out there right now. Then in federal fiscal year 24, we will apply for the first of two phases for the construction of this project. We'll basically take the project, decide what side we want to do first, begin construction. 2025, they'll give us a second construction grant to finish construction of this first phase. Then 2026, design money for what's left. 27, construction for one side. 28, construction to complete that project. This project is going to take 6 years, which is essentially the first 5-year period of our airport master plan. And, you know, back in the good old days, you know, the FAA had the resources, construction costs probably also had a lot to do with this, where the FAA in 1 year would give you a grant to design the project. Next year they'd give you a full grant to complete the project. This is a $13 million project. And the FAA has told us, don't expect to receive anything more than $3 million in FAA discretionary money above and beyond your $150,000 a year in entitlement monies. So, you know, simple math will tell you 13 million divided by 3 is going to take you, you know, 4 years to complete the construction phase, because the design phase is only 500,000 and about 300,000 for the outside portions. Because a lot of the surveying that's being done here is also taking into account survey for this phase of the project also.
Now, Bob, does that mean the square tie-downs for the small aircraft is going to, is there a conflict there? Does it have to be removed?
No. No. This will remain until the day comes when we hope to be able to take the new GA apron and extend that further out and then just line this whole new apron with tie-downs for, you know, corporate jets, everything that you see that's basically that parks in front of the terminal building right now will just be pushed further out. And then the current taxiway Alpha will become a taxi lane, which makes it eligible for AIP funding. But interestingly, taxi lanes for airport category B2 aircraft are only 25 feet wide.
The only thing that concerns me, Bob, is we keep removing the little guys' tie down areas. And not the transient. It's the tie down areas that for aircraft.
Well, there's still going to be. There's going to be considerable space for tie-downs for all size aircraft. You know, one of the requirements that the FAA actually asked McFarland Johnson to provide is to, and it's difficult to see here because what the FAA has asked McFarland Johnson to do is to include all the markings on their. On the ultimate airport layout plan, which basically takes all these projects and shows it on one sheet. So they're also going to provide for us drawings or markings of where the tie downs would be. And this apron over here, the current apron that's out there right now, we already have 13 tie down areas for GA aircraft. The likelihood that the next two T-hangar buildings are going to be built is a little bit up in the air right now, so we'll always have tie down space over there. We'll have other tie-down space available for single-engine aircraft like twins on the new apron, matched with, you know, tie-down areas for you know, that exist right now for the corporate jets. I mean, if you take a look at this, you can just make out the shaded area where we have the tie-downs in front of the terminal building. This area that's going to be made available ultimately is going to expand that parking capacity by quite a lot. So I think we'll be okay with tie-downs for, you know, the single engine piston, the light twin aircraft also, while still being able to accommodate the corporate jet fleet. So that's a 6-year project. It's going to be going on for quite a while, but it's one of those projects that corrects a non-compliant runway or taxiway. And then taxiway restriping. This is something that I didn't have on the agenda, but I want to bring it to your attention. Starting next week, Wednesday, we are going to remark all of the taxiway markings, all yellow markings that appear in these areas along the airport. The reason why we're not doing why we're not remarking everything in front of the shell hangar is because that was a component of the construction of the GA apron. The contractor for this project has told us that this won't take them more than 3 days. We've asked them to start marking on Wednesday in this area before the Wings and Wheels event happens. If for whatever reason they are delayed, they can't start here, they can start anywhere else, and after Wings and Wheels, we'll just come back and finish this area right here. But one of the FAA requirements for taxiway markings now is they have to be bordered with black stripes. So this configuration is going to run down every taxiway, every hold line, and the guide-in lines that run off the taxiways or beyond the hold lines and continue onto the runway. So this project is set to begin on Wednesday next week. Hopefully it could be done, completed by Friday, weather permitting. It may carry on into the next week. So you'll see a lot of activity.
Is that county funded?
Yes. Yeah. And we got a great deal. I'll be honest, we budgeted $50,000 just for this phase of the airfield marking, because I didn't know what the added cost of having to paint two stripes equal to the width of the taxiway stripe were going to cost. And the low bidder, who was actually the painting contractor on the GA apron, so they're very familiar with the airport, came in with a phenomenal price, which we may ask them to come back and repaint all the yellow on associated with runway 10-28 and parallel taxiway Charlie, because this hasn't been remarked since it was built.
Bob, have they committed to anything on that, or have you got any prices on that at all?
No, not yet. Not yet. I've hinted to them, but I haven't asked them to give us a price.
Is there a reflectivity requirement on that?
Yes.
Stripe?
Yes, all the yellow. We are going to all the taxi lanes and the edge markers are all going to be covered with glass beads for the reflective requirement. We're not going to glass bead the tie downs, and that's no big deal. So, but all the hashed or dashed edge markings, all that's going to be glass beaded, also bordered with not only black on the outside, but black going up between the two stripes. So, and this is just...
Obviously, there must be a sweeping requirement when they're done.
A what?
Sweeping.
Oh, yeah.
The glass beads are definitely...
Yeah. So that's going to be a good project. I mean, as you can tell, we've got some, especially on Taxiway Bravo, between on the west side or east side of runway 422, where you can barely see it. So, anyways, that's all I've got. Any questions?
I do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work being done. Trees taken down, roads done, a roundabout put in, Arrow Safety Road being done. The public sees all this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been detoured around. What's being done to talk to the public and advising them about the schedule and what's being done, Because one thought is, with all the work that's being done now, is that this place is almost done. It's ready for extension. Mm-hmm. And from what you're saying, it's not.
Right.
So how will the public be advised?
We are required to have a public hearing on the airport master plan. That'll be advertised, made available for public attendance. Beyond that, that'll have to be something that we can discuss at the county administrator level.
Well, but I would advise you as a council person to think about that.
Get together with Chip and Todd.
Yeah, one of the problems, and I kind of felt this early on when I first started, the job of airport manager here, was I was getting this vibe that people thought that after Park Avenue was relocated, the county was going to jump in and start relocating the runway.
Yeah.
But that wasn't correct. That was wrong. And whoever advised county administration, maybe even going up to the state level, the federal level, that all Sussex County had to do was apply for an AIP grant and the FAA was going to give us $30 million to extend the runway. That was incorrect information. And since then, I think at the county administrator level, and even at the federal level, they now understand that there is a process and a criteria that has to be exceeded, and the FAA just simply cannot give us $30 million to extend a runway. The FAA's airport improvement program is dictated by a federal order, and the FAA is required to administer the AIP program in compliance to this federal order. They don't have the freedom to be able to say, okay, Bob, here's $30 million, go to it. So we've been talking with, as Mark had and I had mentioned, we've been talking at the state level, we've also been talking at the federal level to see if there's a means where the FAA can exempt Sussex County from compliance of these federal orders that dictate the AIP program. And someone who's got more authority than anybody in this room is going to have to call up the FAA and say, hey, look, man, the Georgetown, the Sussex County, the Delaware Coastal Regional Airport is very near and dear to my heart. Do me a favor, give them a $30 million grant. And the FAA's response will be, okay, let me understand this correctly, person with authority. You're telling us to ignore compliance to a federal order, give Sussex County $30 million, and the staff and support that's necessary to complete this project as quickly as possible. Sure, no problem. That's not going to be the response. In fact, after the FAA hangs up the phone, I wouldn't be surprised if they call the Inspector General's office at the Department of Transportation and say, hey, you won't believe the telephone call I just had. So,
I mean, circling back to the original question, I think the state has been doing its own job at communicating to the public through the workshops and so forth and during design.
Yeah,
what the real purpose of need of the road relocation.
But you have 100 people attend that.
Yeah.
How many people are in Sussex County?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that we can't add to it, but I know the state's been doing their part to let them know that the real reason, justification for that is it's a substandard roadway. It doesn't meet any of the truck route guidelines.
I headed the Economic Development Council for the Chamber of Commerce for years.
Right.
And this was a project that was on our radar. And we just understood that things were happening and it was going to happen. It's not.
Don't feel bad.
There's so many things
going
on.
We were all in that misunderstanding.
Yeah, I mean,
and the public doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
Taking
just help us.
Well, Ray, taking your original comment and request about informing the public and everything else, I mean, I think what's adding to this too is the recent quick evolution of Velo's operation up in Newcastle has the public really eyeing this airport, just thinking, you know, why can't we do this service and this service? And there's a lot. So I think meshing all that in with some type of communication with a timeline attached to it, talking about opportunities, the realities versus future opportunities,
right,
I think would be really beneficial, because there's a lot of misperceptions out there right now.
There are.
That why can't we have passenger service in Sussex? Everybody wants to come to Sussex, but they don't understand all the time. So I don't mean to really break it down, but just something from a, you know, 1,000-foot level that could really help break that down would be really beneficial.
I think so.
And also remember, this is a prerequisite. This must happen before the FAA will ever consider this. So if we were to, let's say, we decided, let's delay this project. Let's wait until we do meet that criteria that's going to allow us to be able to do this. Well, how long would that have been? And then if we were to, in the next 20 years, meet the criteria to make this an AIP-funded project, because remember, if we get $30 million that falls in our lap, we can start this project without having to meet that criteria for it to be an FAA-funded project. We can start this project, but this has to be in place. This has to be eliminated before we can even consider this. So you can justify the movement of this is necessary, was necessary, but you know, this may not be happening as soon as we thought it was going to happen.
All I'm asking is, how can we help the public understand? Right. And from a business point of view, you know, there are businesses that are affected as well, and they're part of the general public. So that's, my question is very simple.
Well, these meetings are up to the public. There's no, you know, if the public is so concerned, they should be sitting out there and they can ask the questions themselves.
Well, that's not the way it works in the real world.
Oh, okay.
The public, you know, they talk and they convince.
Yeah. They talk and then things get, you know.
But you're right, there's a certain percentage that should be.
As it goes down the line, the facts get changed and distorted, and the way to get the real facts would be to show up at the meeting if they were so concerned.
That's
right. To the point of this, what Bob characterizes as miscommunication to up the ladder over the years of the funding for the runway extension, the 250 or 500 operations requirement, we've known that for years, at least 10 years, if not 15 years, I've known this has been discussed. So I'm not challenging the assertion, but it doesn't seem logical to me that people at the higher levels didn't know that, because I know I've been in these meetings for a long time, and that 500 threshold has been talked about for weeks. In this very room, we had a meeting with Senator Carper and probably 25 people sitting around a table, and that was at least 10 years ago, to discuss how to achieve that 500 operation threshold. And so, I don't know, it's been out there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Where are we now on the, how many takeoffs and landings do we have that qualify?
We're at the 500. We're at the 500 operations. We have to show consistency at 500. And right now, the FAA is having difficulty trying to tell us what that consistent level is. How many years in a row? Because if you exceed the 500, if we exceeded the 500 in 2022. But we fall below 500 in 2023, then we're not showing consistency. The other issue, and this was one that kind of, that even surprised me, was this issue of the distance that the aircraft is flying. Because we already have Gulfstreams flying in on a 5,500 foot runway. We already have 737s flying in on a 5,500 foot runway. What do we need 6,123 for? Well, we need that so the aircraft can travel as far as it can possibly go and still not make its ultimate destination. It has to stop somewhere in between.
And that's what we're having trouble with.
My understanding was the reason, and I understand it has to fly a certain distance, to say 500 miles, some distance like that. But the fuel to put on it was a problem with takeoff because of weight.
And
my understanding is, they used to have Pats, and I say, well, somebody in here would always say that they can't take off fully loaded. They go to somewhere to get fueled up, which would be Salisbury or somebody with a longer runway, so that they could make the next leg. So we're never going to get that distance of those aircraft because of the.
And here's what we need. And here's what we need someone like Pats to do, and maybe someone like Shell with their Gulfstream. Take as much fuel as you can out of Georgetown. Fly as far as you possibly can. Stop for a fuel stop, and then continue on to your ultimate destination. Don't fly from here to Salisbury to tanker up to fly nonstop from Salisbury to your ultimate destination. You need to originate out of here with as much fuel as you can take. Stop midpoint, refuel, then continue on to your ultimate destination. That's what the FAA is looking for.
Right, but I think the problem is the weight of the aircraft.
We can accommodate. Well, we can accommodate what would be necessary for a Gulfstream or a Boeing 737 to take on as much fuel as necessary to depart off our 5,500-foot runway.
Counting the accelerator and stop distance?
Yeah. That's all factored into that, yeah. So yeah, so let's say, for example, they want to fly the airplane back to Seattle. Sure, you could fly to Atlantic City. You could probably go down to Salisbury, tanker up there and take off on their 6,400-foot runway, which I made possible when I was airport manager there, and make it all the way to Seattle. But here, you might be able to only get enough fuel to take you to Denver.
Then you stop in Denver,
fuel up to continue on to Seattle. That's what we need to record.
A few years ago, we had somebody that was from that group, and they described that they couldn't fuel up. And I'm not going to get into details because it's not my area of expertise. And that was a problem. And that's why we don't have the first leg that meets that requirement, is because of fuel. So I would just recommend you might want to just check with them and say, hey, this is came up in the meeting, and help me understand whether we can or can't get that first leg distance.
Okay. Good discussion. Anything else, Bob?
No, that's it.
Okay. Wings and Wheels update, Larry's not here, and I think Linda's going to step in, right? Okay.
We're on target. We are lucky enough to be able to go back parking at Sussex Academy, so we can run our loop from there to the airport. Road closures will take place at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, and then we will be out here Friday doing our setup. We have our Pathways program on Friday morning and our dinner show on Friday night, and then Saturday we're set to go. We just got approval for the C-130 and the Black Hawk to come back. I'm waiting on approval for the Coast Guard to be part of our Pathways program on Saturday, and then be here. Delaware State Police just gave their approval for their helicopter to be out here. So everything's falling in place. Everything looks good. We got Corman's to come aboard with us this year for the first time. So they'll be part of the aviation program on Friday. And thanks to Dustin, we're being able to house some aircraft. Six aircraft is going to go there, and then the T-6 from Corman's is going to go in there on Friday. So we're just moving and shaking. We are hoping for good weather, as we always do. I just found out, or I didn't even realize, that it's a long weekend. So if we have good weather and it's a long weekend, we're going to be crazy busy with people. So we have the Nanticoke Indian trams again, so we'll have those to bring people back and forth. And of course, we're really within walking distance of Sussex Academy, so a lot of people will just park their cars there and walk over. But we're ready to go.
Okay, any questions for Linda?
Okay, what's the long weekend?
Columbus Day.
Oh.
I never even
Be careful, that would be
as a banker, we never got that holiday, so.
That's why I didn't recommend it.
We don't get that.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Everything else has been drained out and flooded out, so hopefully everything looks good, but that's all I'm going to say at this point.
Well, good. This should be the year for you then. Item 7 is the public comments. Anybody from the public want to bring anything up?
Start with me.
Well, you're the. Okay. Anything?
Just the usual item. You know, we talk about all the things that we're going to fix up. I presume that somewhere in here we're going to be fixing up the runway safety areas so that they're compliant.
Yep. That's what's holding us back right now from permitting
turf operations.
Turf operations in the safety areas. Our safety areas do not meet FAA design standards, and to allow such operations in those known non-compliant safety areas would be unwise. That's all I can really say about that. When we're gonna address the safety area issues under an AIP project.
I would think you'd have to pick that up as part of the redoing the taxiway B.
I'd have to convince the FAA. There's issues about mixing two different projects under one purpose AIP grant. But, and I can share the advisory circular that addresses that. If you guys want, but it's not going to be part of fixing up the safety areas along runway 422, even a section on the east side of the runway between taxiway Bravo and taxiway Delta is going to be a separate project and won't be tied in with the construction of the new parallel taxiway. The FAA won't allow that.
I would think it would be an integral part of it.
Doesn't support the taxiway.
Putting more pavement out there just makes the drainage issues worse if you don't fix the drainage issues.
Well, we'll be addressing drainage with the taxiway project that supports the taxiway, but you can't mix two projects that don't support the one project. The FAA won't allow that.
Can the county look at doing something on their own in conjunction with that project? I mean, I don't think it would take much to improve that safety area for parallel operations.
If you're running a new taxiway through there, you've got to fix the grading issues that are already present.
Right.
They're not mutually exclusive.
I agree. That's why I'm asking the question.
It's a core component of it.
Well, they're both sides of the runway, right? I assume it's both sides of the runway, right?
The scope of the taxiway project from a width standpoint wouldn't address the entire deficient safety areas that are associated with the runway. So
I think it's the portion.
It'll overlap a portion of it, but there's a larger portion that it won't touch.
Right. All I'm suggesting is maybe the county look at what would be involved to address that area required beyond the scope of the taxiway project to accommodate the parallel operation, turf operations.
Yeah. Well, that would have to be
come up with a budget number.
Yeah, that would have to be a dollars and budgetary conversation.
Sure.
We'd have a talk with Gina and Todd and the council and go from there.
I mean, you got to start somewhere, so you got to start with the numbers, I guess.
And we got, you look at the stormwater management issue of it.
Right.
I think that's going to be a big part of it.
That's always a big part of this airport.
Sure is.
And you need to look at the liability.
Yeah.
Also, which is becoming a bigger issue industry-wide across all airports.
Okay, the last item is to set the next meeting date. And
December?
Yeah, we can, which would be December, because we try to do it the last month of each quarter. But historically, we've not gotten good turnout and attendance, and last year we couldn't even meet a quorum. So I don't know if it would even make sense to schedule a December meeting or not at this point. Does anybody have any thoughts about scheduling our next meeting in December?
Well, I think
for or against?
I think moving it into November is even harder with all the holidays and everything in November.
Exactly.
And, yeah. You know, so I think, you know, if we don't do it in December,
what you have to January?
It's going to have to go, yeah, towards the January mark. The other option is to schedule December and see how many people.
Well, I like the idea of just proactively moving to January and not even try to go through the pretense of trying to gather enough people in December. It's hard, like you said, it's hard enough as it is. I don't have my.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to do it in council or in January because that's when I have to go to council.
To make the next appointments?
Yeah.
Okay. What is council's? Well, do you have a date in late January or early February then that you would propose? Or do you just want to wait and send an email out?
Yeah, let's do that.
Just wait on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have council scheduled yet.
Okay, why don't we do that? We'll just defer it for now and we'll wait for an email from Bob for the last time.
That'll work.
Okay, all right. We just need a motion to adjourn.
So move.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.